today, Turning Point Church. Lord, I worship you today, Lord Jesus. Can we give him a shout of praise this morning? I think we all got a reason to praise this morning in this place.
Let everything.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley. I'll praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered. I'll praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the waters my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing,
I've got a reason to praise the Lord of my soul. Praise the Lord of my soul.
I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is a shout.
Ushers come at this time. We just have a few announcements. Men's Bible study tomorrow night here at the church at 6 p.m. So that's for all the men that are involved in their Bible study. This Friday is back to the battlefield for the youth and the hyphen. They will be leaving here from the church at 4:30 and bring some spending money for dinner afterwards. And then everybody say this Saturday. So at 8 a.m., all the men who are able will be meeting here at the church to go out to Sister Debbie's to help her cut some wood and do some things. So get your boots on and get your muscles ready. And then also there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer for whoever's able to help bring food for the school fall party here on October the 5th. And then please sign up in the back in the foyer if you want to be involved with break-in for the tailgate party, and that is Sunday, October 6th. And you can bring your vehicle, you can deck it out. There'll be prizes and food and fellowship that day. So, all right, let's pray over our offering today. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you're going to do in this place today. We've come with great expectation, Lord, that you'll do something great in this place for us today, Lord God. We honor you today, Lord. Please just bless the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen. Get out of your seat. Greet somebody today.
Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You are so worthy. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are so great, Lord. Let us come together and worship him because he is worthy. He deserves our highest praise. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are.
Jesus, my
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. grace extended, miracles are in this place. The chains are broken, eyes are open, miracles are in this place. The hearts are mending, grace extended, miracles are in this place. The chains are broken.
Him right now. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. All across this place, from the back to the front. Let's begin to worship Him for who He is. Let thankfulness begin to spring up in this place. I thank You, Lord, that I have the opportunity to worship You. I thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace. Come on, let our voice begin to rise in this place. Let our faith, I believe, God, that there are miracles in this place. I believe there's miracles in this house right now, God. Whatever situation I'm facing, whatever I'm thinking about constantly, God, You can break that. You can renew my mind right now. You can give us clean hands and a pure heart. We pray this right now. I worship You. I magnify You bigger than my problems, bigger than what my situation looks like. I look to You right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise one more time. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Is everybody going to help me preach today? Amen. Smile, look at your neighbor. Tell them, living a life of worship. Living a life of worship. Give honor to my pastor, to the pastor of this church and his family. Give honor to the leadership. We are a blessed church. Amen. I said we are a blessed church. Amen. This region is blessed because of our pastor. I want you to know that. This region is blessed because of our pastor. You have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 118. Psalms 118, starting with verse 26. Psalms 118, verse 26. It says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us the light. Bind the sacrifice cords unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Verse 29 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. You may be seated. You may be seated. September 11th, 2001 was a day that will not be forgotten, especially for those who witnessed it. I think that most can still remember where they were when they had received the news. As millions watched the Twin Towers in New York City fall to the ground, their feelings of security and hope fell with them. An act of terror had brought the city that never sleeps to its knees. And all the world could do is watch. It was a terrible time. And the ashes of the fallen steel, a group of firefighters raised the American flag, and it would stand as a symbol of freedom and hope. Before the recovery had begun, the flag was established as a reminder to the American people and to the world that in such devastating destruction, we remember the most important thing first: freedom. In the book of Ezra, at the beginning of chapter 3, we find, and we will find, that Israel, they were back in their homeland after the Babylonian exile. This is where this took place. The people of Israel are now returning to their land after being in captivity. They were bringing back the vessels of the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar carried away from Jerusalem some decades ago, and he placed them in his house of his gods. And you could imagine the chaos and the disorder that they returned to. I mean, their houses or their tents have not been taken care of in a long time. Unfortunately, their yards were not mowed, the driveways were overgrown, and the paint was now faded. Decades of neglect showed their city to look more like a wilderness than a home for their family. The house was in shambles, and to top it off, there was no supplies, there were no stores for them or their neighbors to repair their cities or their homes even quickly. They came back to a lot of chaos and confusion. It was a mess, to say the least. They returned to their homes, and it was short-lived as they pieced together what they could quickly. Not to mention, their enemies still surrounded them. They were in close proximity to where they were. They moved quickly to try to get what they could and try to rebuild very quickly. And I'm certain that they were quick just in case the enemy would change their mind, or better yet, try to invade on them while they still had no stores, no food, or nothing to build with. But despite all the work that needed to be done to repair and to rebuild their city, despite the chaos and uncertainty that kept them up at night, wondering if their family was safe in the home that they are now living in, despite all that, the first thing they did, and I love this, because the first thing they did when they returned to their city was they worshiped. The first thing they did was they began to worship. One of the first things they did was gather, and they began to build an altar. Ezra chapter 3, 1 through 2 says this. Ezra chapter 3, 1 through 1 through 2 says this. And when the seventh month came, and the children of Israel were in the towns, the people gathered as one man to Jerusalem. Then arose Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. You say it the way you want, I'll say it the way I want. With his kinsmen. And the Bible says that they built the altar of God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, and it, as it was written in the law of Moses, the man of God. I find that encouraging this morning, that although their enemies still surrounded them, and although they didn't have everything restored and repaired like they would like, it encourages me that they would meet up, they would gather together as one, and they would worship. I think we could take something from that even in 2024. That despite all the things that it might look like, and despite all the chaos that you may be facing, the best thing that you and I can do is to worship. I want to remind us, someone this morning, that the best place to start is with worship. The best place to start is worship. God shows up when we show up to worship. God shows up when we believe and we put him first. Even in their condition, they continued to move forward and worship. It came first for them and their families. And believe me, they had problems. I could list them. We've all got problems. Everybody said amen. It was a mess, to say the least. Ezra chapter 3, 3 through 5 says this. They set the altar in its place, for fear was on them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings and thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. Verse 4 says, and they kept also the feast of the tabernacles as it was written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the customs, as the duty of every day required. And after the regular burnt offerings, the offerings at the new moon and at the appointed feast of the Lord, and the offerings of everyone who made a free will offering to the Lord. To say they were worshiping is not saying enough. Many scholars believe that they did not rebuild their homes upon returning. They did not repair their lands. They didn't get their crops ready. They didn't put a board to their house. They simply started to rebuild the temple. They started to restore worship before they did anything else. And I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of our homes, our houses. How many love Hobby Lobby? Amen. Amen. But could you imagine coming home or coming out of exile to a house that wasn't and hadn't been upkept in decades and just leaving it to do something else? It shows us the urgency and the importance that they had towards the house of God. They wanted to take care of the house of worship. Establishing the foundation of worship was more important than anything else. And as the foundation was being laid, as the people began to do work and dig, and the people rejoiced and shouted for joy, they began to worship. Ezra 3, 10 and 11 says this. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests and their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites and the son of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord. The Bible says they sung responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. It says, for he is good and his mercy endures forever towards Israel. And the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. You better believe, if you read a little further, that there was some naysayers. You can read it for yourself. There were some that were not happy with the way the foundation looked. They always say it was better in my day. That's okay. But something happens when we go back to the foundation. Something happens when we're standing in the midst of uncertainty and all we have is the foundation to look at. Something happens when we go back and you remember your identity in God and you just start worshiping Him simply for who He is. I know right now, I wonder right now if we could just worship Him for who He is. I wonder if we could just express some faith right now and look at the foundation and say, I worship You for who You are. He is good and His mercy endures forever. He is good and His mercy endures forever. Isaiah 28:16 says it this way. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid the foundation in Zion. A stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. The fact of the matter is, the Lord never changes. And He is always worthy of our worship. He remains good, amen, even when it looks bad. I said He remains good, even when it looks bad. Job modeled this very thing for us. We know the story of Job. He stood in the midst of his own room, this one place in Scripture where we can say, Job was going through it. And we could say that would be an understatement. Job was going through it. I mean, his children were gone. His money disappeared. His assets were lost. But he looked beyond his circumstances and he chose to remember who he belonged to. The Bible says this in Job 1:20. Then Job arose, he rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Job chose to worship despite what life looked like. He may have struggled, but he went back to his foundation. Even though he had more questions than answers, he worshiped first. When the money was gone, he worshiped. When his reputation was gone, he worshiped. When his health was down, he worshiped. And it can be a difficult thing to make worship a priority in our life. When everything around us is confusing and maybe falling apart, the last thing our flesh wants to do is to put our attention on anything else but the big problem in front of us. Distraction is used by the enemy all the time to pull our attention away from the only one that can fix the problem in the first place. Job saw this ocean of problems before him and understood that he was not going to be able to make a dent in it, fixing them himself. And can I simply say this morning, one of the best things that can happen to us is when we realize that we need God more than anything else. I want to let you know there is a freedom when we understand that I can't fix this. I need God to move in this in order for this to work. I'm not going to pull one more string. I'm not going to take one more step until You move in this, God. I'm going to stay disciplined. I'm going to be quiet. And I'm going to worship You first. I'm going to go back to the foundation and I'm going to remember who I am in You. to remember who we are in Jesus. Smile at your neighbor and say, living a worshiping life. There was a hoax many years ago that had gained a lot of traction in the early 1900s. I find it kind of humorous. Take it as it is. But for approximately 40 years, the Piltdown Man was a collection of bone fragments that was supposedly found. It was believed to be the missing link between apes and humans. Evolutionists jumped at the case and carried it as far as they could. It was discovered around 1910 to 1912. The Piltdown Man was the answer for evolution. During those years, the Piltdown Man was used as proof for evolution, but finally in 1953 to 1954, an anthropologist and a geologist team determined that the Piltdown Man was indeed a hoax. It was created to look a certain way, but it was not so. The people in the Bible who continued to be faithful to God, even in hard circumstances, understood that worship isn't based on what we have. Rather, worship is based on who God is. And the world is out to discredit us and cause us doubt in our faith, our belief, and in our purpose. He is out to discredit us. And at times the evidence may seem overwhelmingly against you and I. They may claim to have evidence that proves us wrong. But like Job, we are called to walk by faith. Sooner or later, the truth will come out and the hoax will be over, and God will still be God, and we will still be His people, and His name will still be on us, and there will be a covering, and His blessings will follow us, and there will be prayers answered, and there will be, come on somebody, I said the hoax will be over. And the truth will be shown, and God will still be God, and I will still be His people, and there will be a covering through it all. There will be blessings through it all, and more importantly, His name will be applied. And some might be asking or thinking, what does faith look like in the day and the time that we live in? What does faith look like? Does our faith need to be loud? Does our faith need to be big? Do we have to put on a show for great faith? And at times I'm sure that all those things apply. But I want to let us know that God is not looking for some short sort of fireworks show for us to get His attention. But what faith looks like even in 2024. Is the same faith that helped Job in the Bible. Faith, everybody say faith, is all about consistency and good habits formed well before problems need fixed. Say that again. Faith is all about consistency and good habits formed well before problems need fixed. You see, Job had built his life on God and His promises. He had taught his household and even his servants about faith. He created an altar in his heart as a place of worship to God, and he visited every day. So when everything fell down around him, Job didn't see what he needed to do to exercise his faith. Instead, he simply went back to all the habits that built everything around him in the first place. When everything fell apart, Job did the only thing he knew how to do. He simply began to worship. It was the foundation of who he was every single day. And may it be like that for us in our day. That no matter what reality we may go back to, and no matter what reality we face day to day, that we go back to the foundation and we do the only thing that we know how to do. We ought to be thankful that this is a worshiping church. We ought to be thankful that this is a praying church. And we ought to be thankful that we have a pastor that will preach the word, even in 2024. Because when life happens, and it will, we have a foundation that will keep us moving in the right direction. You may struggle. There may be times, but every time you begin to worship, every time you gather, every time you hear the word being preached, something happens. In the middle of struggle, pain, and hardship, Job found a place to give thanks and to worship God. At times it may seem like the most difficult thing to do, but when God and his church get involved, it changes our perspective. God becomes bigger than our problems, and we realize that God is good in the struggle. We realize that God is good in the struggle. His mercy endures forever. Psalms 118:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever." God knows how to work it out. God works all things for the good. All things are not good, but the Bible says that God will make all things work for good. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." This verse lets me know that we can worship God because he is doing something behind the scene. It may seem like a mess, amen, but behind the scenes, there's protecting going on. I said it may seem like a mess, but behind the scenes, there's a covering. It may seem hopeless, but behind the scenes, there's restoration taking place. It may seem like disappointment is the reality of life, but behind the scenes, there is a season of strength happening. I won't be too much longer today. Amen. But Psalms 118 highlights worshiping God first. No matter what is happening in our lives, this is a song of faithfulness. Look to your neighbor and say, "His mercy endures forever." And in the book of Ezra, the people of Israel centered their lives around the tabernacle of that time. They did. It was everything to them, and I'm going to overstate this. They knew the importance of it. I can't explain it. Read it for yourself. They centered their lives around the house of God. Everything began with worship, and everything ended with worship. The tabernacle was there when they walked out of their house or their tent in the morning, and it was there before they went to bed at night. There's a book called God's Word for Life, and it says this about worship. It gives us three areas to bring worship in. The first one is our prayer should begin and end with worship. Number one, we begin and end prayers by worshiping God for who he is. Number two, we enter into his presence with thanksgiving, a form of worship. It says this, our practice and life are daily routines. We worship through preaching, teaching, singing, and so on. Number two, We worship by living holy lives separate to God. The third one is our homes. We worship by fellowshipping with others and sharing the gospel. Number two, we worship by teaching children by example and by honoring God's plan for authority. End quote. And even in 2024, we need a lifestyle that is centered around worship. It is not just for others to see, but it is part of everything we do. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Paul said that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The fact of the matter is, our lives should be on display, that everything revolves around Jesus. We should live a continual life of worship because God dwells in us and He wants to dwell in us. I want to let us know that no matter what life looks like or even what stage of life you may be in today, that worship is an appropriate place to start. Worship is an appropriate place to start. Worship is part of who we are. We could have the musicians, and if we could stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16 says this, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Fact of the matter is this morning, there is no room in God's temple for anything else. If we want God to dwell in our lives, we're going to have to make some room for His ways and His word. Our lives should not have a little box that we keep God in out of convenience. But this should be who we are. This should be who we are. The Bible says that He will be our God and we will be His people. And I just kind of feel the urgency this morning. I kind of feel like the Israelites fell. They didn't let their to-do list get in the way. They didn't let their five-year plan get in the way. They didn't let all the unfinished questions and all the chaos get in the way. They simply started building and worshiping their God. I kind of just feel like that this morning. I feel like ending with this prayer today. Psalms 139:23 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." I love this prayer because it takes us walking with God from religion to relationship. This prayer allows God into the places that we never allow anybody else. It gives God full access to our lives. Worship means a daily conversation with Him and a pure desire to please Him. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The Israelites always saw housing the presence of God, and they revered it as a privilege. They did. They put everything to the side when it came to building and maintaining the temple. They made it the center of their lives. They revered it. They knew that they had something that riches could not buy. It was a privilege to them. And I want to remind somebody, I know this is simple, that we are a privileged people. I want to remind you that you are privileged. The evidence may be trying to say something else, and it may seem like the enemy is closer than you would like, but we get to be a part of something that is life-changing. We get to be a part of something that can change me from the inside out. I want to let you know that you are a privileged people. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This morning, I don't know what you may be going through. I'm not trying to play on emotions at all this morning. This is between you and God. But I wonder if we could just gather towards the front, push everything to the side. Push my needs to the side, my wants, the things that have been on my mind. And if I can just start thanking him for who he is. Come on, let's lift our voice right now as they begin to sing. And let's begin to thank him and allow him to move in us and go from there. God, I pray right now. We know that you're in this place, God. We know that you have put purpose in us.
Oh, magnify the Lord.
I worship you,
let
Jesus.
Let us exalt his name together.
All time.
search me right now. Try me and know my heart. God, change me from the inside out. I don't know, maybe right now we could just take a second and find someone to pray with. Something happens when we bind together. Something happens when we begin to worship together. Come on, let's pray right now. Right now, God, you are in this place. We know that you put us here for a purpose. God, we pray that our perspective can be changed under the power of the Holy Ghost. Search us, O Lord, this morning. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. We need you in our lives. We need you in our homes. And we need your presence right now. Come on, lift that person up. There's a few praying still. Come on, as they begin to worship this one, sing this one more time. Yes, yes, yes. How many are thankful that no matter what you face, the best place to start is worship? Amen. Keep Pastor in your prayers. He is traveling. He's out preaching right now. How many are thankful for your church? How many are thankful for your pastor? And how many are thankful that we have a God that we can worship and that wants to live in us? We are a blessed people. We have the greatest thing. We can change. There is change. You are dismissed. Shake someone's hand. Let them know you're happy to see them here at Turning Point Church.